Satisfy God podcast. Raven Bird here. Appreciate you taking the time to listen to this new episode. Thank you for listening to the previous episodes as well. Today I am joined by the other two members of the Lunatic Club, and we're going to sell t-shirts one day. But Richard Mixon is with us, and he came all the way from next door. And John Casera is with us as well. And I drug him up from Texas when I went down there, almost 2 weeks ago now. And we had some really good meetings there. Really good time with the folks there in Austin and our Kyle Austin area and San Antonio. It was a real pleasure, and hopefully we can do that another time soon. But while we were down there, and I want to begin looking at this, or just kind of bring this out today at the very beginning of this, because I think it will lay somewhat of a premise and foundation for what we'll be talking about today, and not only that, but what we'll be addressing for a long time. And it is basically the premise for everything that is said on this podcast. And the problem is, I think it's a premise, a basis that is missing in most people's view and understanding. While we were there, we began to talk about the new birth. And John and I have been talking about it a lot while we were there and on the way here and while we've been here together. And Richard has been with us, and we've all been kind of chit-chatting about this, because this is very important. What we have done in the church, and what we have even done in many of the areas of ministry that I know of, we have done a great misservice to the body of Christ by de-emphasizing the reality of the new birth and the significance of the new birth. And we focus a lot on the reality of Christ being revealed and the necessity to see the Lord. But if we do not have the new birth as the sure basis of such a work of God, such a unveiling of the heart, then the soul will basically aimlessly look for the appearing of the Lord without a great deal of basis or foundation or premise. There's many people that seek the Lord or seek to know the Lord because of what they hear, the gospel they hear preached. And it seems to me that they seek the Lord with themselves in view, because there's not been at least presented to them a sure foundation from which we are to look for his appearing. And it's just this. There's a verse here, and John's going to talk here in a moment about rest. We're going to kind of continue on that and look at it. But I want you to see, and he'll talk about it, and Richard will talk about it, that it's upon this basis that we're talking about all these things, that we are discussing rest, that we're discussing any of these things, because these things are the result and the reality of the new birth. Look at Colossians chapter 2. This is verses 9 through 12. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Now, there is a great deal of significance and weight in those statements, and there's so many more verses, and we'll get into them as we go in other times. But just that one verse, how many times have you read or heard that verse, and the significance of that has just passed you by? In him, you are complete. Why? Because the one who is perfect, the one who is complete, is the very life of your soul, is the one who is present in the soul. And that happens the moment you are born again. We are not seeking fullness to be. We're not seeking perfection to come. We are seeking to see the perfection that is present. We're seeking to behold the fullness that He is right now in the soul. God is not doling Jesus out in bits and pieces. Of His fullness have we all received, as John says in his gospel. And when he talks about of His fullness have we received, who is he talking about? The very Word who was in the beginning with God and was God. That's the full. Can you imagine how we have just downgraded such an immense presence, such an immense salvation, that that one who was in the very beginning with God, who was the expectation of all ages, who is the culminating object of God's eternal perspective and God's eternal will, presently resides in your soul in all fullness. And you watching television doesn't diminish that. You having a job doesn't diminish that. You having a family doesn't diminish that. We think, oh, we get caught up in these things. Listen, Paul, listen to me. Paul was on his way to kill and imprison Christians when the Lord appeared and struck him down. Do you think that our little silly little things that we think occupy us, having an iPad, having a computer and watching, you know, TV too, is that really going to stop the work of God? Why? Because God's work in your soul is based upon a greater reality than we can ever imagine. It's based upon a foundation that is so sure you can't even fathom it. It is a basis that is not us, but Christ. And you stand upon that basis the moment you are born of His Spirit. And that's what I want you to at least hear from us. That we would set forth to you at least that as the foundation of seeking His appearing. Because His appearing is the seeing of a present salvation. His appearing is never separate from new birth, but it is the unveiling of your soul to the presence of new birth in all of its fullness. And it's so full and so complete that we will eternally be beholding that great salvation. Now, we're going to talk about this more in podcasts to come, and we're going to discuss it more as we're here today. But I want you to see the premise, the basis, the anchor is Him who is present. And God has not withheld any good thing from us. We are not waiting, and we see the problem is the misservice, the problem we've done to the church is we have dispensationalized. I'm not talking about eschatology. That's ridiculous enough. I'm talking about how we have dispensationalized our own salvation. And says, well, first you get Jesus, then you get more of Jesus, and this comes in. Then you get more of Jesus and this comes in. Then you get the gifts. That's another level. Then you get this and that's another level. There are no such things. Ye are complete in Him. A present state of fullness because the fullness Himself is present. So what now? John Lightfoot says in one of his commentaries, and I always thought it was tremendous, he said, we have been taken out of darkness into light, out of death into life. So what now? What now must we do? He says we must realize the change. Realize the change. There is reality, and then there is the need to realize the reality that is present. And may the Lord God deal with our hearts upon that premise. Well, He already does. deal with our hearts upon that premise, because he works in our hearts according to a great salvation that is present. That's why the moments in your days in life that you feel that you do not deserve him to even speak to you or deal with you at all, he is faithful. Because he is not faithful to you, he is faithful to his Son who lives in you. Now there is some things to chew on as far as that goes.
Amen.
But the rest for your soul that John's going to talk about, that we're going to discuss here, is a reality presently. Rest comes when he comes. Righteousness is present because he's present. Life in its fullness is present because he's present. It's as simple and as wonderful as that. So I just had to get that off, at least get that on my chest. Yeah. But we'll be talking about that more. But I'm glad to have these two guys with me. Again, it's always just wonderful to be able to talk to them and share with them. And we cut up a lot, and we go back and forth with each other, and we have the liberty to do that because we all have kind of the same sense of humor. But the thing that really joins us, the thing that I appreciate so much and more than anything of these two, is that there is a true desire to know the Lord and a true seeing of Christ that governs their heart. And I'm so proud to call them friends and brothers. And so welcome, guys. Thanks for being with us. John, I'm gonna let you go from here, and we'll chime in as you go on what's on your heart.
Okay, well, Raven, Richard, just glad to be here with you guys. You know, I appreciate just the title of the podcast being "Knowing the Satisfied God" podcast. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that title to me. Sometimes I'll run that title by me, and man, it just makes me happy.
Right.
I mean, that God is satisfied, and it's just a work of the Spirit to come to that, you know, knowing that God is satisfied because his satisfaction is that Christ liveth in us.
Yeah.
You know, and he's measuring out this salvation by him instead of, and who he is instead of me and who I am. Amen. And the work of the cross provided that reality, you know, that we could enter into a reality where we would be known, of God apart from anything else other than the person of his Son.
Absolutely.
Because God being God, you know, he doesn't have to, I think I said this one, settle for less. Men will settle for less, but God doesn't have to do that because he's God. And he came up with the way,
right,
the truth and the life to make it where we would have a perfect salvation.
Right.
You know, and the cross is what provided a perfect salvation where we, where God would be totally satisfied, in anyone who comes to God by him, he's able to save them to the uttermost.
Mm-hmm.
See, and man's uttermost is always, it didn't go very far, but God's uttermost is himself.
Yeah, doesn't that mean
that? I mean, it comes right up to him. And so he has placed us in Christ and put his Son in us so that we could come to the uttermost relationship with him that was the desire of his heart, whereby he could have a church that was his body, the fullness of him and not anything else.
Right.
And the fullness of him would be all and in all. what a blessing.
Yeah.
See, I mean, God didn't hold back anything. You know, he gave it all. When God gives it all, he means all. And that's come you coming to these outstanding, overwhelming verses in the Bible, blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think. See, I mean, it's a great salvation. It's a great, great salvation. And as Raven said, it starts at new birth. And I just want to just run over something here that I've said before, but it became, you know, God was forcing an issue in me. He wanted me to just come up to a place, and I was saying things, but I didn't know exactly just where he was bringing me in, taking me a little further than I actually thought, because he's going to take you more than you until it becomes a reality. He didn't want you just to think something. He wants you to actually know the reality of the something you're thinking.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and so I'm going to start here in some old territory in the Word, but it's forever new because it's forever the person of Christ. In relationship to our salvation, in relationship to God's intention after we're saved. Very important to know what God's intention is after we're saved, because, man, you can go on some wild goose chases, man.
Right.
And I've been on many of them. And it's just like...
Ever catch a goose? You never caught it. Couldn't catch the goose.
Couldn't catch the goose, man. Nor the gander, nor the egg, or nothing. I mean, you just wound up there in a, you know, at the end of another dead end.
Yeah. Right.
You know? And then you have to pick up the pieces and, you know, kind of get everything back together and go on, try to feel your way through the darkness you know, all the things that are out there in Christianity. And I was going to say, I didn't have that problem before I was saved, but after I was saved, you know, you wind up, well, what do we do now? Because it didn't bother me what I was doing before I got saved. I didn't really care. I was just doing what I wanted to do. But now there's been a new birth. So now what's going on?
Right.
Well, this is going on. That's going on. There's so many things going on. And they're saying, no, it's all this, and another one saying it's that. So you do this and you do that. And finally, you just, you know, and situations come up where, you know, you just get kind of weary and well-doing.
Yeah.
And a little bit on the exhausted side, to say the least. Here we go. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and has revealed them unto babes. I won't get into that, but God, the simplicity of Christ, you know, you can get this thing. You can really, you know, I was strung out on drugs, but man, you can really get strung out on Christianity. I mean,
that's a worse pill than
yeah. You. I mean, it gets so complex and complicated, but, but here, you know, this the simplicity of what God is after, you know, is astounding, that you can just go, you can either fall short of it or go beyond it, you know, and just miss it. Just as much as the Jews missed Christ's coming and the person was right before their eyes, you can just miss, you know, what God is after. And I was going to just say, you know, let me just read on here and I'll just make a statement. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And he's referring to, you know, hiding and revealing of the verse above. All things are delivered unto me. See this word, all things. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now here, This is said in reference to these next three verses. That's the summation of this chapter. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am lowly, meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, I'm just going to say this about this first verse here, and since it's on my mind. Come unto me for what? You know, why does Jesus want us to come unto him? You know, and, you know, what is his expectation? What does he want you to have when you come unto him? And it's quite simple. He wants you to have rest. He wants you to find rest. He's not really wanting you to find something else.
Right.
And in Christianity, you can find so many things, but where's the rest? Because one thing leads to another. That doesn't satisfy. So now you got to have another something. And then after that, another, because your soul was created for this rest.
Right.
And Jesus, if anybody ever meant business, Jesus meant business. So I'm down here on a business trip. You know, he says, this is a business trip, buddy. And I mean, this is a blood, sweat, and tears business trip because why? I want you to find rest. You know what I mean? I want to give you rest. And I want to not only give it to you, I want you to find that rest that I've given. And so I'm going to the cross. For what purpose? Well, come unto me for this purpose. I'm going to provide a way for you to find rest.
Right.
And I'm going to provide a way for you to enter into a rest, a Sabbath rest relationship with God, because after God created all of what he did in six, you know, in the 6 days, on the seventh day, he says, okay, the purpose for this, I rested.
Yeah, that's it.
The sixth is for the seventh, and he's after this rest, and he's serious about it. You see, and to the point where, you know, even after you come to him, you know, in his eyes and into God's view, which is defined above here, God sees you in his rest. He's brought you right into his rest, because in Galatians, he says he's taken you out from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I mean, when did that happen?
Right.
That didn't happen later on. That happened immediately when Christ came into us.
Go ahead.
What, and
you guys can chime in here too, but it seems to me you were talking about the creation and he rested. When did he rest though? It's, you know, we talk about the days, but it was when he looked and said, it is very good. It was the way he wanted it. It was perfect and satisfied him. And then he rests. I remember Brother Spark says, the first day of the first man was a Sabbath day. And I thought that was a tremendous thought, that God rested and then he placed man in that day of his rest. That's what he's done. That's what Christ is. That's what God has done. He looked at his son and says, this is it. This is good. There's nothing beyond this. This is perfect. Here's the delight and pleasure of my heart. And he takes the soul that he created for such perfection and he says, now, this perfection is yours. Or I've put you in my perfect man. or I've put my perfect man in you, my rest. What does he say about Zion, which is Christ, really?
Right.
This is the place of my rest. And that's what's happened. The moment, the day has come. The moment of new birth. The rest. His beloved son. The one he looks to and says, this is very good. And he's rested there. He's satisfied there. And our salvation is that one is in us.
Amen.
And that's what he's offering here in Matthew.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah, come unto me.
Absolutely.
And what are you coming to Jesus for? Right. Now, I came to him. I didn't really know what he was after, but I know where I was after. I wanted to get out of where I was, fire, darkness, and death. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was kind of a desperado, really. And so I came to him in John 15. And wow, you know, here comes light and life and the darkness and the death and all the others gone. And here, I know it's Jesus. I never heard the word born again.
Right.
You know, and oh, man, now I've got light and life. Well, what was I looking before I was saved? Well, I was looking for light and life. I wanted truth. I wanted the bottom line to existence. He's it. Right. But I came to him, but I didn't know what he was really after. So I set about to live for Jesus and do this and do, well, I need it. You need to get this. You need to get that. And I got it all. And I lived it all. But God in all of it was, you know, he had given me rest. But I didn't know that's what he had given me, really.
Right.
Rest. He was satisfied. I did not know that. So I set about to satisfy, please God, in great endeavors.
Mm-hmm.
But I just became exhausted. And God will let you get exhausted.
Sure.
I mean, he lets you run the course, mm-hmm. you know. And, but, you know, the purpose, it says here, after he's given you rest, is that you would learn of him. And this is what references what he says before there.
Right.
That's that God would reveal his son in you so that you could find the rest that he has given you. He's given rest to our souls because he's placed his son in our souls.
That's right.
And his desire is to reveal for us to experience the reality of that rest that's in us from the day one. And so, you know, finally, after so many years, I came to rest for your soul. But when it happened, I didn't even know that's what it was called.
Yeah.
It was about, man, it must have been 15, 20 years later that I finally looked back at it and the Lord says, that's what I was after all that time, mm-hmm. rest. Because
yeah.
I'd given you rest for the purpose of you realizing the rest that I've given you. And I saw, began to see just recently, motivation. What motivated Jesus? You know, he went to the cross so he could give us rest. He went to the cross that we could come into the reality of the rest that he's given. But he didn't give us rest apart from himself. He's the rest.
Yeah.
Because he's the relationship. He's the relationship now that we have with God. There is no man there defining that relationship.
Right.
He's the mediator, the total mediator of your relationship with God. And that's a yay and amen. That's not a yes and no relationship of a tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
The yes, is it? Well, it's not yay and nay, Paul says. No, this is yay and amen to the glory of God. Yeah, and it's a sure, certain thing. It's God wanted it to be, in order for something to be rest for your soul, it has to be absolutely certain.
Yes, it is.
There can't be any questions in it, any doubt in it. And in fact, That's the way it is. There's not any you and me in it.
Yeah, that's where the doubt comes.
That's where the doubt and the questions are. He does away with the doubt and the question.
What is it? For him, there is no shadow of turning. There is no variances. There's none of that.
None of it. And so getting back to motivation, what motivated Christ is to all what I just said, give and then reveal the rest. What's our motivation? See, it came down to me. What motivates us? You know, what is God after? Rest for your soul. Mm-hmm. See, there becomes a motivating thing. Learn of me. I just need to, that's my motivation. Why? For this? No, just for rest for your soul, man. That's it. That God would reveal his son in you. That's what he's after. Mm-hmm. See, and that's, oh gosh. See, that is not, and Paul says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are, but the things that are seen are temporal, things that are not seen are eternal. This rest is Christ in you. The eye can't see it. The ear can't, you know, hear this. The natural ear, the natural heart, but God has by his Spirit revealed.
And that's why a lot of times we're always saying, God, give us more.
Amen.
Give us more. Because as you said, what God has bestowed in grace is unseen with a natural eye. It's unapproachable with a natural mind. But when we haven't seen the salvation he's given, we will look for it in the realm with which we're familiar, the realm of sight and sound, evidences and the outward. We'll look for all of that. We'll say, this will demonstrate to God, like he needs that, a righteousness. This will demonstrate to the world. And what we're really saying is, I'll see it, and to me it'll be real.
Right.
Because we don't believe it's real until our natural eye beholds it.
That's what I tried to do when I first come to the Lord. I wish I had heard his teaching all my life in the church. See, I was raised in church,
right,
but never taught any truth. I was thinking things in my mind, and John is speaking them. And I go back a lot of times to my new birth, and I think about it a lot of times. You know, all I was taught, you know, you get saved from hell, because I felt like all my life I was on a rotisserie just being turned over the pits of hell, because that was all it was taught in the circles that I grew up in. And I just didn't want to go to hell.
Yeah.
So I come to the Lord, I accepted him, and I entered into hell because I was the most miserable man on the face of the earth, because I didn't know what I had. I didn't know what I was saved from or what I was saved for, except I'm not going to hell.
Yeah.
But it took me years, I mean years, before the Lord just knocked me to my knees and spoke into my heart. You know, I looked at the wrong man for so many years, and I tried to save a dead man. I tried to be the model Christian on this earth. I mean, I tried to do everything right, and the more I tried, the harder I tried, the more miserable I got, because I was doing everything in the natural, in the flesh. I was trying to dress Adam up.
Sure. Amen.
And you can't do it. And I come to the point one day, now I'm going to tell you what, now I was a miserable person. I thought, you know, when you got saved, it was all roses and lemonade and all this. But I had never been taught the truth.
Right.
But when I got saved, all hell broke loose for me. It did. But it's because, and it wasn't God's fault. And I don't know if it was my fault. It's just what I was taught. And I tried to do what I was taught. In other words, you had to dress this man up. You had to look like a Christian. You had to talk like a Christian. You had to spit white. You couldn't do nothing.
Right.
I mean nothing. Everything you did was a sin, and I lived in condemnation. But when I come to the point one day in my life, and like I said a while ago, I'll go back to this thing, that day so many times, because that's when the rest came into my soul. When I told, pulled my car over side the road that day, and I said, God, I can't live this thing. He spoke to my heart. He said, no, but I can.
Yeah.
And he said, I've been waiting on that. He let me go and run. As you said a while ago, he let me run that little rabbit trail. But I was a miserable man. But when he told, when I realized and when he made known to me that there was another life living in me, that's when my rest came for my soul. I didn't have to do anything because everything had been done and provided in the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was in him. The fullness that he is dwelt in me. But I did not know that. God, I wish I'd have knew that the day that I got born again.
But it didn't diminish anything, did it?
No.
As far as his standpoint and
no.
his, and really the state and condition of your soul, nothing changed.
Nothing changed.
Yeah. Nothing was diminished because you were ignorant of a present truth.
Right.
And I mean, God, that's great. Isn't it great Amen. That God deals with us upon his basis?
Yeah. Amen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I probably said enough.
No.
rest.
Hallelujah.
Rest for the soul. Rest is a person.
Yeah.
Because when God bought that truth or understanding to me one day that he is all things,
yeah.
I mean, you name it, he's that. Faith. Yeah. I mean.
All the stuff we
mercy,
try to be.
Everything that the Bible talks
sanctification.
About. Is him, because he is the Word. The Word was made flesh. It dwelt among us then, but now that Word dwells in us as a person, and it's Christ.
Yeah.
He is all in all, and he is everything in us, if we'll just come to that truth and come to that comprehension that we have no life but him.
Yeah.
And he is the life that lives in me. He is that rest.
Just think about think about the whole thing of what you were talking about. And I was in the same boat, all of us really.
Yeah.
That, you know, we hear salvation preached as another chance, but don't screw it up. And the thing is, we're told you got to be righteous, be holy, live this way, live that way, be good, be better. And yet they throw all these things out there, and yet you have no basis. You have no reference point. You don't know what righteous is. Everybody's got their view. Everybody's got their concept. So you're out there chasing after invisible rabbits. You're chasing after a carrot on a stick, and you never get to it. Because there's nothing real. It's only, I mean, I began to see Christianity before I came to see the Lord as just a game, man. It was a game. And this person or that person were they ran the game and they were the ones that pulled the strings. But the whole time, it's almost like, you know, Psalms 2, where the heathen rage and all of this is happening. But God sits in the heavens and laughs because I have set my king on my holy hill.
Amen.
I mean, he's not shaken by any of it. He's not shaken about the corruption. He's not shaken about the ignorance. He's not shaken about any of it. He just wants a soul that will allow him to show this salvation to it. And again, I've said it before. God was pleased to reveal his son to me. Why? Because that was the moment that the pleasure of God is finally made known to the soul. Where Paul, all of his life, just like you, all of us, tried to please God, find God's pleasure, but we're always trying to do it with ourselves as the object of it.
Amen.
And God finally was able in a heart to just show, declare fully, exegete, if you will, his...
Yeah.
Eternal pleasure in the man of his own son. And it takes you right out of the realm of sight, sound, flesh, and blood, me, all of it, and shows me God. It's Him. Yeah. He's the pleasure of God in its absolute fullness. He's the amen to this thing. And I've spent my whole life trying to so be an amen something that didn't have me as its reference point to begin with.
Amen.
And when you behold that one, that's rest. But that's the rest that was there the moment He came and dwelled in your soul, the moment you were born again. Not I, but Christ. That's not something you achieve. That's not something you get to.
Mm-mm.
That's the reality the moment you come in or He comes into you. Moment you're born of His Spirit, not I, but Christ is the reality by which you are known.
Amen.
Thank God.
I was ignorant to all that.
Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, though. The ignorance didn't change a thing. Ignorance changed nothing. Man, that's why, you know, Paul never questioned anybody's salvation as far as in his letter.
Amen.
They were ignorant as they could be, some of them more than others. Some of them were going crazy in certain things. He didn't question salvation. He knew the problem was not the salvation because he knew salvation, the moment it happens, is perfect. The question is their understanding, their comprehension. Have they seen Him who is their salvation? I mean, he starts every letter by saying, it's a fact, guys. Like John said, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings. It's a fact.
Amen.
This is a done deal. You have it all. You are not lacking anything. Now behold Him. Set your affection on that which is above. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. All of those different things, but they're based upon something that's real and doesn't depend on you to make it real.
Amen. That's so true.
All right. Go ahead. You guys go back and talk.
I'm not adding anything to this other than
we're just conversing.
We're just conversing. Other than, you know, I just kind of want to just get down to after you're saved and you've been given this great gift of rest, mm-hmm. and it's Christ in you. And, you know, you don't realize what you've been given even. You know, in many cases, people think, well, now I'm not going to heaven. I'm, you know, going to hell. I'm going to heaven, you know, and if I play my cards right, that will happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if the pastor gives the okay, well, then that's that, you know, I need his amen on that. And I mean, I've been there and I've heard that. And, you know, and all these things where, you know, you've got this gift and so many things, you know, you go down all these things like we said, but after you're born again, the total motivation of even being born again should be right from the start. Do you want rest for your soul? If you do, come to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, if you're tired of playing the game of humanity with all the variables of uncertainty concerning almost anything. They're never really certain about anything here. I mean, everything seems to be growing. The English language seems to be changing all the time. Languages change, you know, as people come up with new words and you know, accents and even physics has, you know, it's changing all the time too. Mathematics, you know, they get into things that are just, you know, hey, you know, and I forget some of the words they use. When you really get into advanced mathematics, things become very abstract. But I'm saying things change, but there's one place in Christ, you know, I'm saying you got certainty. Do you want certainty? Do you really want rest? You can't find certainty and rest in the sign. Go ahead, brother.
No, I wanted you to talk about in light of that. You've read Einstein the what is it, biography?
Right.
And there was two thoughts in physics. And it has a lot to do with what we're talking about, and the two thoughts of Christianity are basically the same.
Right. Okay, this is what I read that big old thick book. Because I just was interested in E equals MC squared because I kind of have a mathematical background. Anyway, got into that book and I found out there was two schools of thought concerning, you know, in the physics realm. And one school of thought is that it's not reality unless it can be proven by an experiment and observed,
yeah,
and seen with the natural eye. That's when reality. That's when things real. Become real. In other words, and let me say the other school of thought is this, and this is the one Einstein had. Reality is what it is, whether we know it or not, yeah. Observe it or not. Reality, and the only way you come to reality is to discover it. It reality is always there. It's waiting there to be discovered.
That's great.
You know, it's you don't have to observe. It's just like this table. It has molecules and atoms in it. You can't see that. But finally they came up with a microscope or something, you know, where they could get down and look beyond into this wood, and they could see the molecules and the atoms here. And now they say, okay, this table's made out of molecules and atoms. It's just not a piece of wood off of that tree. There's something more that's holding it together. But see, the atoms and the molecules were there before the discovery.
Right.
I mean, it really doesn't take a lot. But in the physics world, they have these two schools.
Doesn't that just say it though?
Right.
I mean, that just says it. And that's why I appreciate that and how it corresponds to what Richard was saying, what you're saying, of our own heart and the shape we were in religion. Because doesn't religion teach, and this is why we're all in the terrible shape under religion we were in, they're saying, until you can see it, it's not real. Until I can see proof of Jesus, it's not real. Until I can see proof that it is this or that, it's not real yet. But guess what? Of God are you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, that's Christ. That is the only qualification to this whole picture, is you're in Christ. And guess who did that? Of God.
Amen.
Are you. It was his power that did that. You didn't have anything to do with that either. But in Christ, he is made unto you. When is that real? When you're in Christ. When is he made unto you righteousness? When you see him, or when he's in you? When he's in your soul as who he is.
Amen.
But because, and that's the whole thing, you would say, man, that just makes, it seems logical to us to say, of course reality is reality until you see it. It's always there until you just see it. But just look at the audacity of humanity to say, no, it's not real until I see it. That's the audacity of a human mind, mm-hmm. that says, no, I have to see it for it to be real. I have to be able to touch it before it's real. That's what religion does. When there is a truth that is unknowable,
right,
to a natural mind. That's why it's such an offense. That's why truth is such an offense to the natural mind. Because it can't be known by that mind. It's an offense to a natural man to say, there is another man who defines your relationship with God. And you must behold that man by the Spirit, because you'll never see the evidence of a perfect relationship with God until you see that man.
Right.
Because that man in his ego, the I, says, no, I can look at my own mirror and see a man that has a perfect relationship with God. No, you can't. Now, you can fool yourself, and you can live the rest of your life in that ignorance and in that foolishness. But there's no rest there.
No.
No, because one day you'll be able to see it, the next day you won't.
I know, man. That's the sadness of it. And you get sincere hearts who are trying to really please God, who are truly born again. And they're, you know, and I was dead set on that until I ran out of gas.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had a lot of zeal for the Lord, man. But, hey, he put me in a place where, hey, I want you to find rest. This is all about finding rest for your soul, man. This isn't about, you know, great magnificent things. Right. And what becomes the motivation is what I really want to, what is the will and purpose of God? And I just want to drive this to this point.
Sure.
What you, and you can come up with, man, you got books on that.
Sure.
Will and purpose of God. Come unto me, Jesus says, for what? When do you get this? What do you get what I, when do you get what I want? When you come unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Right then,
mm-hmm.
He's given you what he wants you to have.
Yeah.
Himself. Amen. Rest. He becomes that instantaneously. That point, like Raven said, you shared, it was not I but Christ. All the, and the will and purpose of God after that, what is it? Take my yoke, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You'll find the rest that I've given you. You know what you're going to do? You're going to look into my face and see this rest. I am, God shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Mm-hmm. That rest, that himself shining in our hearts. Oh, we see him as our, oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
See, that's a perfect rest.
Yeah.
And it's always followed by, you know, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. When did the treasure come? When you found it? No, it's been there.
That's right.
The whole thing about growth or anything after you're born again is seeing the treasure. Mm-hmm. Just finding, you find the treasure by, what is it? Looking unto him.
Yep.
The author and the finisher. Where is that? You've got it all. You're not going to get it. Now, I just want to say this.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the rest that, you're not going to get this rest then. You're going to see the rest that you have had since day one when that very person of rest entered into your soul.
Thank you, Lord.
So like you were saying, and I've finally come, man, I've been saved for over 40 some odd years. Da-da. You just feel like, duh. Just, you know, how, but see, you read this over here. I must be in this category up here, Raven, wise and prudent for a long time. You know, finally he had to kind of, you know, whittle me down to, you know, okay, you know, just show me. I can't get in it. Show it to me.
Spiritually, the same.
You know, I mean, thank you, Lord, that you finally said, hey, why don't you just look at this? You know, and here, I just want to just say this. A lot of people will believe this in Hebrews 11. I think this is one. You know, now faith is the substance of it. You can just put Christ there.
Oh, yeah.
See, a lot of people will agree with this. Christ is the substance, but we're the evidence.
Yeah.
You see.
That's the twist.
That's the twist. See, because the evidence is all, all the thing, when that evidence thing comes up, and this is where everybody really goes off the deep end here. This evidence, where this word, we got to see the evidence with our natural eyes, touch it, taste it. But in reality, what is reality here? It's what God sees. His reality is Christ is the substance and the evidence.
Right.
He's not looking for us for the evidence.
Who's beholding it? Him.
He, yeah. He's beholding. That's reality. We discover the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got the reality before the foundation of the world. That was reality.
Absolutely.
When Jesus, you know, when Christ came, that was the reality. God knew us by where Paul, and you had a whole section of teaching on this, where Paul says, you know, how now since you know God, or better yet,
rather yet,
you're known of God. God knows the substance and the evidence of our salvation way before we do.
Yeah.
And reality, as far as seeing it, when Christ comes in, it's over. It's the game's over with him.
Right.
You know, we still wind up playing games because if we try to be the substance, but when we say, okay, now we got that down, but then we think we're still the evidence,
right.
Still playing the game. And anyway, Raven, that's about the motivation. Rest, finding rest, that's the will and purpose of God. for anybody, you know, for mankind, just to be given the rest after you're saved, is to find the rest that you, that's God's will and purpose for a Christian. Yeah. I want to just see, that throws a lot of people off there. That it was, it's, he wants to know, you, us to know, a not I, but Christ relationship with himself that he's given us in the person of Christ when we came unto him. Because that's the only way you get saved. That's all I have to say.
No, that's it. I mean, just read this. I was just thinking about this verse. Howbeit we speak wisdom. This is the hidden wisdom of God. The wisdom that is described here by Christ made unto you all this. The wisdom that man, whether Greek or Jew, didn't know.
Amen.
Couldn't know. We speak this wisdom among them that are perfect. Can you imagine? This is a man declaring the wisdom of God to those who have come to that perfect man. Because the wisdom of God is a perfect man.
Amen.
It's a perfect man made unto you everything you're not.
And that's like, rest for your soul.
And that's rest for your soul. And he says, this is the wisdom that we are proclaiming to those who have come to such a perfect reality, who have come to such a, the word is, the end of the matter, the conclusion of the thing. You start at the conclusion.
Amen.
You start at the conclusion. That's, golly, man, that is just, that's mind-blowing.
That is.
Well, you can't know it, with, because it goes on here. You can't know it. It's spiritually discerned. And that's why, to say those who are perfect has no reference point in us, but the wisdom of God that's made him to be unto us all things. That's why such perfection is not known in religion and can't be known in religion, because we're still trying to find the perfection that is defined in the wisdom that is hidden.
Amen.
The perfection is another man. It's the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and Paul calls that a perfect man. And he says to you, come to the knowledge of this man. Not till you get him, because Paul says here you already have that perfection because the perfect man's there. The rest is that he is there. The rest that we must experience is the presence of him who is there. But let me, you guys chime in here, but...
I just want to say this.
Yeah.
That one scripture verse that you've said several times here, 1 Corinthians 1:30, which is sandwiched in between this statement of Paul that no flesh would glory in his presence, and then afterwards it says that you would, as is written, he that glorieth would only glory in the Lord. That scripture verse, that's 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of God are you in Christ Jesus, who's made unto us. That's where the flesh, you know, nobody can glory in the flesh. That's where the only glory is in the Lord, is where God has put us in Christ and made Christ unto us wisdom, which you brought out. It means the wisdom, meaning he's made unto you
all of it.
Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, et cetera, to the end. He's made unto us all in all, where, he's made unto us what we could never, ever be.
Right.
And so this is the rest that we're given right from the get-go. And then we discover, wow, man, somebody's been made unto me what I've been trying to be and killing myself to be and never achieving it, arriving, even though you do it all.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul kind of experienced that under the law, because you kind of get back under the law when you don't see Jesus, who's your life. You just wind up there. Absolutely. You can give it all, do it. And Paul's saying that, I gave it all, do it all, but I'm still under condemnation. Something's wrong with this picture.
I would say, yeah.
Go ahead.
You're the wrong of the picture.
Yeah, I'm the guy who's You know, I'm
because you brought a wrong man into the picture.
I brought a wrong
man. Because the picture was of one, another man.
It was always that way with God.
I mean, look at this. Now, I'm not a handsome man. I know you find Amen. That shocking. Amen.
Yeah, you took a vote.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah.
Let my wife thinks I am, but she's biased. But I'm not the best looking man. So it's about, say I have a picture here of Brad Pitt. Women think he's a handsome man. And then I'm going to say, I'm going to be that. I'm going to look like that. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And here's Paul. We're going to read in Romans 7 as we go on in these Roman classes. Paul's got a picture of the most perfect specimen of eternal substance there is. This picture called the law, a testimony that is a picture of this, just the beauty of God shining forth. And he's going to look at that and say, I could do that. That's what I mean. That's what we're talking about. That's what religion tells you to do. You'll get it. No, you can't, because that's a picture of another man. I can't be that man. I can, you know, I might learn how to walk like him or, you know, talk like him or whatever. And this is all in reference of a natural realm, but I can't ever be that. I can't be that. God was not after imitation. That's why it says God's not mocked in Galatians 6. Because here's these people trying to be righteous, and here's Christ, who is the righteousness of God. It's Ishmael and Isaac trying to live in the same house, and he says, listen, God's not an idiot. He knows the difference between the two. The whole thing was until the true seed came. And if that seed's in you, it's done.
Hallelujah.
No need to add your Ishmael efforts and your Ishmael evidences to this picture. This done. The son is here. The seed has come. And this is in, I always go back to Proverbs 8. And this has a lot to do with to what you were saying. And here's the verse. I mean, you can read this whole thing. And it's talking about Christ because it's the wisdom of God. Remember, we speak the wisdom unto those who are perfect. This is the rest being declared here because you're seeing God's view from the very beginning. This is the one God beheld. So look at this. Because this is the one who's in us. And tell me that if he's present, this one who is God's wisdom, the man Christ Jesus, is in our soul. You tell me what needs to be added when you read these verses. I mean, I can read the whole thing here. I don't really want to. Let's see. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, better than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Think, this is wisdom himself. This is Christ. This is the Christ in you that's declaring who he is here. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit what? Substance. And I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. This is him speaking now before the foundation of the world, as the very premise of God doing anything he ever did. This is who's in you.
Amen.
The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, forever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. While as yet, that means before God saw any of that and made any of that, he was the bringing forth of everything in the sight of God. He was the conclusion of the thing before it even started.
Amen.
While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, while he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight. There's the satisfaction of God.
Amen.
Before anything. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable parts of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. Now, therefore, hearken unto me. That's what? Come unto me, O ye children, Amen. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. Be wise. Refuse it not. This is Hebrews. How should we escape when we refuse this great salvation?
Amen.
Blessed is the man that heareth me, watches daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now, what's that word favor? Because we love to talk about favor, right? Grace, favor.
Right.
You know what it means? It is 75:22 in the Strong's. It means accepted, the delight, the desire. And it goes back. It's a root from the word from 75:21, ratzah. And it means the satisfaction. He that findeth me findeth life, and in finding me he obtains the satisfaction of God.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because I was always his delight. I've always been his pleasure. And you find me, you found the delight and the pleasure of God in its fullness. You don't have to do it. He was it from the very beginning. What makes us think he's not it in us?
Amen.
He that findeth me findeth life. And in that life, the satisfaction of God, the approval, the affection of God, the full observance of God, because that's what this word means, all of these words, the enjoyment of God is there. And when you find him, you have found it. When he's present, that's who he is in you. And guess what that is? Rest.
Rest for your soul. Mm-hmm.
He has found, and in that rest, you have found the treasure that is greater than gold. The fruit that is in full increase, you found it because he's present. Now, that reality is here, as we said, whether you see it or not.
Whether you see it or not.
And that's why God is so gracious in that reality to deal with our ignorant hearts until we finally see. Because he's dealing with us upon this basis.
Amen.
His rest. That's always the issue, isn't it?
Right. Hebrews.
They will not enter into my rest. And he laments over the fact they have not come to his rest. It's not I will give them a rest. It's his rest that he's given.
Amen.
This is it.
This is it.
Proverbs 8. It's it. And in Matthew 11, it's the same one calling out to those children, those who are... He says in one place, I can't remember if it's here. Let's see. Here it is. Yeah. This is the very first part of chapter 8. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. Ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, or the things of righteousness. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination of my lips. He's calling them to know wisdom, to know understanding. Come unto me, learn of me. Why? Because as long when I'm present, when I'm here, it's all here.
It's
the understanding of God, the knowledge of God, the riches of God. And if you find me, you come to me, I will be the filling of your treasures. I will fill up the bags that hold the treasure. You don't have any until that's the treasure in earthen vessel.
Amen.
This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the rest that God has given, the grace by which the rest of God is bestowed. And we're talking about a soul beholding, experiencing the rest. But the premise here is that you begin there in the very rest of God. You begin in the one who is the satisfaction and pleasure and eternal delight of the Father. Now, the Spirit of God will say, come and see this man. Set your heart above, because you're going to see a reality that you can never see evidenced anywhere other than his face, in his presence. So,
I want to just say one thing in Hebrews 3 and 4.
Yeah.
It says, and I'm not going to, I was looking for the scripture verse itself. For who, was he, was God angry with?
Right.
Is it they that fell in the wilderness and
is it 4:3 there?
Yeah, let's see. I'll forget it.
It's 3:11 or 4:3.
Yeah, it's one of these. Whom was he grief for? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And it talks about that. Who was God mad at here? Why was he so mad? And it's all about they didn't enter into his rest. It's like, you think, well, we did this, did that, did another thing, and all these other things. They did a lot of stupid things, in Mount Sinai,
commit whoredoms.
The thing that
everything.
Really got mad, got God mad and upset. Who was he really swearing in his wrath by? To them who, because of unbelief and cause of disobedience, who didn't enter into his rest. That's what really, and so I come back to the statement, motivation.
Yep.
When you come unto him, it's rest.
Absolutely.
Because that's what God's after. Afterwards, he wants you to find that rest that you so... declared in Proverbs 8, where, this is the conclusion here, the start is the conclusion.
Yeah, that's it.
And I just saying, God's satisfied here, but without us seeing, a lot of believers don't come into, you don't come into the rest that you have,
right,
that you've been given.
And that's what
that's
really
what's upsetting. See, I'm saying that kind of, God's after that, and he works toward that end, and you want him to work towards all these other ends.
Right.
Hey, man, you are to cross, what do they call it?
Purposes.
Cross purposes with God. But once you get on that page, and it talks about hearing his voice.
Yeah.
His voice is on that, in that reality of rest. You will hear him in you. He's able to override, and he has been overriding, but all of a sudden the awareness of him overriding you, when you're thinking things, he jumps in and says, not so.
Right.
You're blessed with all spiritual, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And absolutely. You're thinking this, he's thinking another thing, because he ain't looking at you when he's assessing the situation. He's already assessed the situation.
He sees the whole thing.
It's Christ in you.
Absolutely.
The full assurance of an expectation of glory.
And the fear.
Oh, man.
That now Paul, the Hebrew writer, but declares here in chapter 4. What's the fear that should grasp the heart of a believer? It's not what we think.
Amen.
Because he says here, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. Now see, that declares the sufficiency of new birth. Why? Because Paul is saying you seem to come short. The fear is not that you have come short. It's that you will assume that you've come short because of unbelief, because of a lack of faith, because you would assume that you are missing the fullness because you haven't seen the fullness. And what you're going to do while he's saying fear is because he knows what's going to happen if you're not beholding the fullness. You'll perceive that there's a lack, there's something missing, and you will go about trying by whatever religious means you can find to bring about such fullness, to find such perfection, to bring about a completion to this thing. And he's saying the fear that we should have of entering into this rest, that we should seem that we've come short. Because Amen. All it will ever be is an assumption that you've come short. It's an assumption based upon a natural man trying to behold the evidence of a spiritual reality with his natural faculties. And that will bring about an assumption of lack that is not there. Because there's nothing lacking. There's nothing missing. Rest is present. Fullness is there. We just need to behold him.
Amen.
And if we're not, we will assume something to be missing. And we will pray, God, give me. God, give me. And he's saying, I have bestowed all fullness to your soul. Look. Come and see. Set your affection. Come up hither. However it's said throughout the scripture. Behold what God hath done. Otherwise, there is an assumption. An assumption that leaves us with no rest.
Amen.
Because it is an assumption that says, get to work. Get to work, man. Do this thing. You got to get it. You got to finish this work because God didn't do it. It's not only finished, it's fully bestowed and furnished to the soul in which he dwells. Amen. What a rest we've come to.
Amen.
What a salvation we have. Thank God for it. And we're just saying, we're just saying to those of you listening, and we appreciate you listening, and hopefully this has been a help. All we're saying to you is that the work of the Spirit at this very moment is for you to see your salvation. God has done the work. He's done all the hard lifting that religion tells you is up to you. He's built the house. He just wants you to see the Son whose house it is. The Son who has right to live in the house. He wants you to behold his work, his perfect creation that he looks to and says, this is very good. And in view of which he's rested. Now, let us come to know his rest, because his rest is already the filter by which we are known of him. There's a knowing of God that governs everything. Now, may that knowing begin to govern us, where we know even as we are known.
Amen.
And rest will be an experienced reality, not just a present reality as it is if you're born again, but an experienced reality. And we live rejoicing in such a great salvation. Thanks again for listening. Thank you guys for being here. Again, appreciate these guys. Appreciate you guys who are listening as well. Write me, email me, communicate. I always love to hear from you. Call me, text me, however you want to communicate is great. I'm open to all of it. Just love to hear you, hear your heart. And let me know if these podcasts, these things are being a help to you or challenge or whatever. If you have questions, I'd love to hear those as well. There's a couple more places that I'll be coming up in the next couple of months, and we'll talk about them in another podcast. We also have the June conference coming up here in Leslie, and we'll talk about that in the next podcast as well. There's that. But just really here, I want to thank you guys for listening and for telling other people about it. We're getting a whole lot of hits that I was telling John, when I started doing this, I really felt of the Lord to do it, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't tell anybody about it because it was like, man, I don't want to tell anybody I'm doing this. I didn't advertise it or anything. I didn't even tell my friends about it for a while. And I'm just so pleased that, that people are actually finding it and listening. And the real hope in all of this is that someone here, someone listening, you maybe, would actually see Christ and experience this rest that we've been talking about. Living in the realization that your salvation is a settled thing, that God's relationship to your soul is already perfectly measured in the measure of a perfect man.
Amen.
What a man. See, that tells you why the revealing of Christ is necessary. Because otherwise, you don't really know why you're going to see him. Why do I need to see him? So I can get these things that's lacking? No, you need to see him because he's everything and he's in you. That's why the words, you need to see him because he's there, is not ringing hollow in our hearts. Because we know if he's there, everything's there. So thanks again, guys, and I hope this is helping you, at least being used by the Lord as a tool to direct your heart to see Christ and to know your salvation in his presence. For those of you who may want to help financially, again, there's a link that we'll have in the description on Podbean. For those of you who are not on Podbean, but maybe on iTunes, it's just a PayPal account that you can give to. It's www.paypal.me/thesatisfiedgod, and you just give whatever amount if you are inclined to do so. If you're not, then hey, I still love you. So, hey, there you go. Thanks, guys, for listening. We'll stop it here, and we'll be back in a couple weeks.